What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list? You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour back in your life, September 14th. 2021, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, episode 153. We just keep cranking them out. Let me get two from a remote location. Future Dan, you there, sir?
Yeah, what's going on, Ben?
Good. The audio is working. Unfortunately, too much is going on, and I am just out of sorts. But on the other hand, I am extremely focused and motivated to talk about a lot of different issues, just straight out the barrel the whole, every single week. I'm here on Patriot Power Hour. We've crept just a little bit closer to total dystopia, absolute nightmare levels of not only double think and double speak, but now mandates, and talking about vaccine in particular, the max vaccine mandate that's taking place, or at least Biden's decree. We'll talk about how maybe states and other jurisdictions can fight against that. But there's a lot of other ways too. Things are going sideways, and every single episode, it seems like it's creeping a little worse. Another good reason to prep. that's why we're on Prepper Broadcasting Network, I guess.
So, what is it about that decree that really got under your skin?
That it's really, he's trying to really push OSHA and push the private sector as much as anything. The fact that he's mandating it for the federal employees, they're already in on it, and most of them will follow along anyway. But now trying to exercise the government's authority and mostly intimidate. I feel like, and we'll get your opinion, but I feel like there's a lot of ways companies, if they would like to, can fight against this. But many, especially the, let's say, just say Fortune 500 type companies, or at least on public companies that are publicly traded, that level of company will use this as an example to step in line, right? Their HR department and their corporate boards at the top are just chomping at the bit to get more power and force this through. So that's just a sad situation and just showing the power going through. So that's how I took it.
You don't think those corporate legal departments are getting served lawsuits left and right by now?
Oh man, I hope so. And you know, if you listening out there are part of this, I hope you will file a lawsuit and fight back.
I know
yourself.
I know firsthand they are.
You do? Okay.
Right. There's a lot of court cases on their way. Unions are suing. A lot of it's in the news, maybe suppressed, but
right.
Obviously we got three branches of government, and one of them has been silent on COVID all along, right? Because, you know, obviously Trump never took any mandates to that level. Now, at the state level, those state courts are probably in lockstep with their local authorities, but this stuff's going to federal courts pretty soon.
Yeah, and I freaking hope so, and I hope it doesn't fail us, the system, but it seems like it's on a thread. It's also on a way, though, in my opinion, it seems like desperation that they're pushing this so hard. I feel like they've almost, they're trying to antagonize and get people so fed up and maybe get people, you know, riled up to do something stupid. Like, I think that they're totally overstepped their bounds, but they know they have. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, Biden and what they did to get into power and how the COVID pandemic assisted that, it reminds me of, you know, like a really, you know, strange way, like a hit song, right? You got to be inside the lockdowns. Now the vaccines, it's like this, the hit songs of that side of the aisle gaining power. They did it right in 2020 with it. Now they're on their second song, the vaccine, and it's not as popular a song. And they got to win a midterm election. Like, even if our elections in many states have the potential to have been permanently corrupted by, you know, 30 days of online voting or whatever some of these states have, just the, you know, complete lack of any kind of system that can control who's voting and how the votes are counted. They need cover, and they're going to figure out a way to string it right along. Yeah, the real number that's interesting that I can't find is what percent of Americans are saying to, you know, at least answering polls and saying, haven't got it and I'm not going to get it. You know, we don't even have polling data that attempts. I know the first thing you'd say is you don't trust whatever number was produced, but polls do shape opinions. And, you know, once upon a time we'd hear people aren't even polled on their resistance to the entire system. And I'm not sure how long they can keep singing this song.
I hope you're right. Maybe you're the cup is a quarter full. I'm the three quarters empty tonight. But I'm glad that people are fighting back, filing lawsuits, and fighting in other lawful and legal ways. And that's going to be one hell of a fight. So I hope people will get involved in that aspect if that's their calling or they, you know, you're into that aspect. Lots of different ways to fight, whether it's through the legal system or through preparedness and educating others. You know, with regard to just the whole next steps on COVID, I think that they're going to push it. I think they're going to try to follow in the footsteps of not only Europe, but even Australia. And it may take them another year or two to get what they're doing in Australia, but bringing on the apps, right? The mandatory contact tracing, and the other, you know, the QR codes, having to use all that and report in if you're either diagnosed or around someone who is, and just that whole nightmare that they're pushing for that as hard as possible. I, you know, fingers crossed, and I'm trying to help as much as possible. American people will not have that. But on the other hand, going back to the polls as well, they have the ability to manipulate a large amount of people and then definitely lie about it. We saw with the polls before the 2016 election how false those were. But those also, as you said, those push narratives, you know, they could be 20% off and they'll still push it. So I don't know. I hope people are out there fighting back, though.
Hey, how does anybody make me do the things you just mentioned? Like the controls you're talking about, what in my life, how does that translate? Because almost everything I think you listed, if I'm just like unplugged offline, not using a device, none of that comes into effect on me.
That's actually like how I have been slowly but surely turning my life that way, and now I'm just accelerating full bore to get out of the system as best as possible so that it has a minimal effect on me. It will have an effect on everybody almost no matter what, unless you totally are self-sustaining, which if you are, I salute you absolutely. But you're right. There's ways to minimize it and get out of the system. I mean, no, that's very difficult. You'd have to, you know, have a lot of acreage.
Where
and
how
there.
It just. Yeah, but what are they going to mandate that they're going to make me do? I don't get it.
Get additional, either current and additional booster shots and other mandates.
They can't
whether
even make me get the first. They can't make me get the first one. I'm not going to. I already had COVID.
Good.
I don't need it. I got natural immunity.
Good. I like that attitude. That's the American attitude, but they're still. Well, they're going to hoodwink as many people as they can and trick them at least. But, yeah, it's kind of a litmus test of how awake you are if you fall for this, I guess, for sure. Because they don't have the God-given right to make us do that. And we just got to refuse. But they're cinching, you know, day after day, month after month, year after year, they're cinching the electronic blanket and around our necks and just smothering us to death. You can struggle, and there's ways out to some degree, but there's a lot of people I feel bad for them. There's no way out. If you have no resources right now and you're young, I mean, maybe you can work your way out, but there's a lot of people that are going to be, you know, pretty much forcibly injected or and we're getting a little feedback from you, buddy. I'll have to mute you real quick, maybe. You got a lot of wind going there, but I muted you for the group. What I'm saying is there's a lot of folks getting vaccinated right now because they feel like I have to keep my job, to not become a sort of conspiracy theorist or have people make fun of me, just pressured into it. And, hey, man, they fell for it themselves. Don't be pressured into it. If you really feel it's the right medical decision for you, that's one thing. But they're just putting that
phones and internet, and I know what life was like before it. So if it gets coercive enough where it's a net negative in my life, I'm going analog, man, and I'm going to be happy doing it. And if you can't get to that place because you're born on these technologies, let me give you some advice. You have a dependency that you might want to consider breaking.
Need a 12-step program, right? No, I get what you mean, but I'll just take myself as an example, put myself right out there. I don't have enough money to retire. I'm going to have to make money somehow, and my skill set is based on the professional sphere and using email. And if companies, like the current company's not mandating vaccines for now, knock on wood, but if they did and I had to leave them, it's going to be very hard for me to find a company that does not. So my well-being is heavily negatively affected, and I am relatively wealthy compared to the average person, and I'm going to be getting screwed by this. So I'm just saying it's just going to cinch a lot around the neck of a lot of people. It's going to be bad news.
Yeah, people are going to feel that way, but you got one of the ways to fight back is to not comply. You know, civil disobedience, and that includes at work, and I think the lawsuits are going to fly. And the real question will be where we settle in case law across the states on providing the opportunity to test. If you test regularly for non-infection of COVID, can you continue to perform work? And it's sort of absurd to me that people could stay home and successfully work for, you know, over 12 months, right? And, you know, supposedly successfully educate children in primary school that way. Yet now it's you got to come out and you got to be vaccinated. I think people should be prepared to vote with their feet and vote with their wallets. Vote with your feet by moving to states that don't enforce that. It's Florida, Texas, et cetera. And vote with your wallet. Don't pay for, participate in, just economically boycott any and all activities that enforce it on you. If you don't have the willpower to do that, I don't know, but maybe it's, you know, unfair of me to say, but you might not have what it takes to, you know, manage to deal with what's probably coming next if Yeah. Things continue to deteriorate in this country.
Okay, that's a great reality check. That's true, because this is just the start, and there's so many other things we could be facing. And no, I'm glad that you kind of had this little pep talk for me. I'm a little more motivated for a minute, and we got to fight back. Like, once, don't just have anxiety and complain about it. Got to have some action. So, absolutely fight back. I do, and we're going into break now, but I do want to say, like, if I was a 12-year-old kid or a 16-year-old kid, and they're like, the only way you could play football this fall is get vaccine, I probably would have told my parents, give me a vaccine. And that could have been a fatal choice or a really bad choice. And, you know, there's just a lot of victims that don't have the capacity to make decisions for themselves, or, you know, aren't financially able to. But you're right. If you can't get through this, can't fight through this, we got a longer road to go beyond. Anyway, guys, we will be back with the News Blitz on the Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're here with the News Blitz, September 14th, 2021. Prepper Broadcasting Network. Let's get started. With health and nature. As we covered in the first segment, President orders sweeping federal vaccine requirements for as many as 100 million Americans. One in five Americans say employer requires vaccination. Higher than I thought until I saw that. Scientists who dismissed Wuhan lab theory linked to Chinese researchers. Chinese authorities alarmed as regional COVID outbreak sees cases double in a single day. All different variants all throughout the world. Moving on to some economics. We're seeing the CPI just now in the red zone, plus 2.34%. But we're seeing new more current information, because that was just the quarterly. But looking at August, which is even more recent, 5.3% increase since August of 2020. Again, from August 2020 to August 2021, consumer prices up 5.3%. Household income fell while the national poverty rate rose in 2020. IRS collections set record through August at $3.59 trillion. That's with a T. 3.59 essentially 3.6 trillion collected by the IRS through August, from October of last year through August of this year, the fiscal year, one more month to go. They're going to, I don't know if they're going to top 4 trillion, but darn near. Wow. And they're still not even close to paying all the bills. They still got to borrow. Tropical storm Nicholas knocks out power to over 400,000 in Texas. And they're still cleaning up from Ida there in the Gulf. There's an article here, Alex Pollock, 7 possible causes of the next financial crisis. There's so many now. And, of course, a little plug for ourselves on FutureDanger.com. At the bottom of the economics column, they have the full radio archive. You can get all 153 episodes of Patriot Power Hour going all the way back to 2017. FutureDanger.com. Check out the archive. Moving on to geopolitics, Chinese warships sailing near the Aleutians, shadowed by U.S. Coast Guard. Terrorists detected moving back to Afghanistan amid Taliban victory. Russia demonstrates new hardware at big military drills. Zapad 2021, it's called. The most, I suppose, dangerous or most intense indicator here on Future Danger tonight. FBI releases first secret 9/11 files. Anonymous Saudi embassy staffer helped 2 hijackers in L.A. A Saudi embassy staffer helping them out. Of course, we just went past the 20-year anniversary. PBN did a special on that. I contributed a little bit too. Check it out. And North Korea, they want to get back in on the fun of new hardware and tests. They're test firing a new long-range cruise missile. Moving on to the final column. Massachusetts senator demands Amazon censor best-selling COVID books. And with that, let me bring on Future Dan. Sir, we had a couple pretty intense articles that we can go over, but relatively benign news blitz, at least compared to what it's been in the last few months. I don't expect this fall to stay this way, but what are your quick thoughts here on the news blitz and the dashboard as a whole?
The grade is how real it is. So black ones are real, no doubt. Happening now.
Okay.
Everything else is just a shade of full reality. The grade is just how real the indicator is. When it's black, it's not future danger. It's future now. It's danger now.
It's actualized. That's the word you've used before. Actualized. Okay. So it's more of a reality. How the inverse of the future. If it's SHTF level, the worst level, then that's actually really translates to it's actualized. It's here now. It's not future.
That FBI report on a Saudi embassy staffer helping Al-Qaeda on 9/11, that was leaked a long time ago. It's finally declassified. Why now? You know, to draw Saudis into some kind of problem? I don't know. The Saudis had resisted that really hard for a long time. Now it just happens and you don't even hear from them. So it's out there, but, you know, foreign black ops, how is that Saudi embassy staffer not part of an intelligence agency or an asset of an intelligence agency, right?
Totally.
So it wasn't just Al-Qaeda working alone. We all know it now.
Totally. And that's one of the things I said about the 20th anniversary is I don't know what happened that day, but I know for a fact it wasn't just 20 guys with box knives or box cutters and a couple $100,000 and some private lessons to learn how to you know, take off but not land or whatever. I mean, I think you encapsulated it perfectly and succinctly. How could that not be a foreign or even and or domestic working together intelligence agency, an anonymous Saudi embassy staffer? You think they're working on their own or just with only the Saudis? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, well, if it's been 20 years and you're too young or don't care anymore, get ready. It's going to happen to us again because you didn't recognize it in enough numbers. You're a population of sheep, and you make the lives of the rest of us dangerous. I'm pretty sure there were Saudi, predominantly Saudi, but Arab hijackers known as Al-Qaeda that did that on planes. And I'm pretty sure they were assets.
So they weren't just some random guys from a cave that got a funny idea one day?
Right. You know, fool us once, shame on you. Fool us twice, though. We got a report here. You just, you know, covered it about terrorists detected moving back into Afghanistan amid the Taliban victory. So the world's not simple, right? These people are dangerous, too. They just are part of a bigger network that continues to, you know, just really degrade our nation.
And the way I look at it is it's not even necessarily nation-state networks as much anymore as it is because there's just so many factions within the states, but then I feel like there's just so many other private organizations and just wealthy individuals that band together. Some of them have as much power or interest as some small nations themselves. So there's just so much subterfuge and cloak and dagger. I don't really hardly believe much, but there's a lot of funny stuff going on. I mean, what's going on nowadays,
well,
let alone compared to back
then. All the nation states of this world have, all but the smallest countries have intelligence agencies. Most of them are focused on internally, right, just preventing espionage inside. But all the European, North American, all across Asia, can, you know, and of course Russia, can project, you know, intelligence agency power everywhere all the time. It's happening everywhere all the time, and no one really talks about it because it always comes down to layman's conjecture. Anybody who knows what's going on obviously can't talk about it, right?
Right.
We get leaks in the news and stuff like this. 20 years later, what a good reporter 19 years ago should have found out.
For sure. And in a place like I think well stated earlier as well, that Afghanistan was kind of a smorgasbord of different organizations, terrorists and otherwise, and as we saw, you know, they're moving back in. It's very easy for multinational organizations or many these different intelligence agencies to work together under the guise of, oh, it's Afghanistani or Afghan terrorists, when it's a no man's land and there's no control and it's all warlords and craziness that Afghanistan pretty much has been for quite a while, except for a few years where the U.S. had it somewhat under control. But now it's obviously back into the total chaos. It's so easy to operate in a clandestine fashion. But hey, that's just layman's conjecture on my end because I certainly don't have a clearance or know any of this firsthand. So there you go. It is tough for I always do feel like, what do I know? I'm not in on the secrets, but I've seen enough to know that bad stuff is going on over there and we are not safer than we were before. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, many writers have talked about how this confrontation with Islam is going to be, you know, multi-century. So we're living it, and Afghanistan's back to what it was. And I don't think we have the governance and a loyal security apparatus in this country to protect us from it.
No, it seems like that's certainly in question, to say the least. Well, we're going out to break, guys. We'll be back for another half hour of action on the Patriot Power Hour. But before we go out for commercial, I want to give a big shout out to all the awesome hosts at Prepper Broadcasting Network. A lot of new ones and a lot of legends that have been around for quite a while. I'm really enjoying it all. Double-barreled Mondays now. We got some competition. Good stuff, good stuff. Be sure, PrepperBroadcasting.com. Join the continuity. We'll be right back on the Patriot Power Hour.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Back, and of course still live, September 14th, 2021. Next week is the season finale. It will be the equinox. Can you believe it? The official end of summer coming up in about a week, and we will have our season finale next week, Tuesday the 21st. We'll be off on the 28th and back the first week of October, right, Future Dan?
Unless it gets real. Unless many, many things on the heat map dashboard go black and it gets very, very real. We'll be there for that.
Absolutely. Very real. That's kind of the theme of tonight. And, you know, at work, I work in the insurance industry. An insurer will sometimes, especially for a liability claim, they will issue a reservation of rights letter, which means, you know, we're covering your loss, but we reserve our right to change our mind. Well, in this way, we reserve our right to come back if we are off of a week and there's a stock market crash or a terrorist attack or anything crazy. Trust me, Prepper Broadcasting Network already is doubled the amount of content coming out on a weekly basis compared to a year ago. So if and when stuff escalates, I expect like 6-8 hours a day of content on PBN. So look, I wish this stuff didn't happen and I don't want more ratings, but you guys out there listening, PBN's the place to be to get your information as stuff continues to get crazy. And really, futuredanger.com is the written equivalent, or kind of the news, unofficial news source of the network there, Future Dan.
Unofficial. Yeah, we got news. I don't know if the direction tonight's any closer to a crisis. You called earlier this late summer that we're facing down something significant. That was a week before Afghanistan fell apart, though, so maybe you had a premonition there.
That was creepy. I kind of thought the same, but there are coincidences. You know, there's a thing is a coincidence. I am expecting, and okay, there's always expect the unexpected, number one. But what I thought more and what I'm kind of focusing on a little bit more is another extreme financial shock, whether that's because a whole new round of COVID lockdowns hit in November and December, January into the winter, and, you know, it's equal or worse than March of 2020 in terms of the stock market reaction and the panic, or geopolitical issues. And I was thinking more Taiwan or Russia, you know, Taiwan and China, or just with Russia in general, especially in Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, Afghanistan kind of came out like a week or two later after I said it. I'm like, well, I mean, expect the unexpected, but also always throw the Middle East in as something where a spark can happen. Yeah. So no, I think I'm not saying this is a calm before the storm by any means, but I still think we're up for some nasty stuff. And at a worst, at least, massive inflation is becoming more and more of a reality, becoming more and more actualized, this nasty inflation. So I expect that to hit really hard this winter as well.
So you see no crises coming before winter?
I feel like between now and Thanksgiving is a prime point, but I could see it happening after the new year, kind of January, February-ish. So I'm not making that detailed of a prediction. I just feel like a lot of things are trending in the wrong direction. Many things can set it off, and it'd be just another great excuse, whether it's geopolitical, so they can lock down that for national security purposes, or COVID or COVID variant, so they could lock down for national security and health reasons, or some sort of cyber attack. I mean, there's just so many possibilities. So, yeah, I ain't feeling too happy about this winter coming up, let me tell you.
News out of China is some variant of COVID is, you know, increasing with cases reported. So it may be the gift that keeps on giving, just a wellspring of disease that, you know, comes out and is obviously in a totalitarian regime controlled. How many people travel, how many people travel with the illness to, you know, secure geopolitical advantage. Not to, discount the possibility that geopolitical advantage includes helping, you know, an ally subordinate regime in Washington stay in power through the midterms.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
COVID 2021 is seriously something to think about.
Well, whether it's a variant or just some whole new disease, we're certainly susceptible and primed and ready for it. But I think what you were saying in the start of the show is big. I think a lot of people have awoken to some of the tyranny and just the government being bullies. And that's the thing they're best at doing, is being bullies and collecting taxes, right? So I think a lot of folks maybe have gotten deeper into the, unfortunately, become deeper into the hole. But I think a lot of folks have also woken up because of COVID and been like, wow, the government really may not always have my best interests at heart. And maybe I should prep for myself, think for myself and my family. It's kind of, you know, a huge litmus test, I think.
Yeah. So what do you think a financial shock would look like given our current environment?
I think we've used up our get-out-of-jail-free cards with the stimulus and debt spending that we've incurred, even going back to 2008. And heck, even going back to 9/11, they had a pretty nasty turn down in the economy going on from the dot-com burst. And then 9/11 happened. Took a couple of years, but that's when Greenspan really started lowering rates. There's a lot of that junk subprime mortgages got started up, you know, 2003, 4, 5. And from then on, it's been too big to fail. It's been adding more and more debt. Don't quote me the exact numbers, but I'm all but positive we went from 8 trillion to 27 trillion in debt since 9/11, probably more. So like a factor of 3 or 4. And especially with 2008 and especially with COVID, it was just trillions of dollars of bailouts and stimulus that was not paid for and was kicked the can down the road. I don't think they'll be able to do that next time. I'm not saying everything's going to collapse next time. You know, I think this is very cyclical and they'll just continue to chomp away in these cycles. But the get out of jail free card, the okay, we're going to print $4 trillion and just give everybody free checks and give the the Paycheck Protection Program or the, you know, and for the small businesses, let alone all the bailouts for the large mega corporations and banks. That's not going to fly much. I don't think that's going to fly next time. I think they're kind of running out of room for that kind of stuff to work, or at least as effective, which means deeper decreases in not only asset prices and stocks, but payrolls as well. So I could see a lot of layoffs coming and definitely no job growth anytime soon.
You know, in many of the types of dangers, the news we talk about, I would say sometimes you take it more cynically and less seriously than I do. Maybe in the security and liberty categories. And I'm perhaps so jaded now on the believers of modern monetary theory and the central banking quasi-corporatist capitalism that we live under today, their ability to, you know, defy reality and continue to create instruments and policies and explanations to perpetuate this much, much longer than I think you anticipate. And I'm probably not being vigilant enough. There are economic realities that no central planning can defy, writ large the Soviet Union. So, you know, but sometimes I get so just numb to it and jaded. You know, how much inflation can there be before they'll just redefine inflation to not be inflation?
I, in a way, agree, but then you'll start seeing just incredible amount of supply shortages, which we've already seen, but it'll be just incredible. And they can't even fill many jobs, even though there's a lot of folks that don't have jobs. It's just a dislocation of all the markets. It's hard to explain. I've done a lot of studying on this, but you're right. They're going to keep manipulating and bending the truth until it finally breaks, but they're able to bend it and twist it and contort it in such ways that I could not even imagine. So I got to give them respect for keeping the Ponzi going so long. I'll give them that.
Well, if you can name for me something I have to look at that can't be defied, I'm ready to look at it. But we saw in March of 2020, 8 to 10 indicators go sheer black on red, fully actualized, it got real, and then through, you know, just fiat, just bankster fiat, they just named things to be true, and it all just became normal again for almost all Americans. What is the hard stop? What is the cliff? What is the can't avoid this reality that we can point at and say, you know, they got to fix things or things got to get better or that is going to be a crisis. And I'll tell you what that is. It's nothing, because the modern monetary theory gurus already know what is coming next and already have a pretty good idea of what they'll do next in the event that all the things that you mentioned start to bubble up. Am I wrong?
If it happens like last time, maybe. But eventually, I think their little magic trick is going to run out of steam and they're going to be SOL. I think my hard stop is the 0% interest rate bound. and they finally all but hit 0% interest rates in America. From the early 80s all the way to about 2008 to 2010. They lowered rates from 20% to just a couple percent. We're essentially at 0% right now. And that's everything. If you have $27 trillion of debt at 0.005% interest, you can pay that fraud back all day and build that Ponzi forever. But if you raise that even to just a couple percent, all of a sudden you can't even pay the interest on your debt. And then that's the question is, who's going to keep letting you borrow from them? Well, the central banks, they'll keep letting us borrow and get into debt to them. Absolutely, that's what's been going on. That's why Janet Yellen's your Treasury Secretary right now, when she was a central banker just, what, 6 years ago, 4 years ago? So, yeah, they will sell pretty much mortgage the entire Treasury to the central banks, and they'll keep lending to us. So that's the next phase, you're right. I mean, they can keep this Ponzi going a little bit longer, but every single turn, the average person is going to get squeezed more and more, especially with regard to food, shelter, ammo, all the things you should be stacking up when you're prepping.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not getting better, is it, Ben?
No, and it's just mathematically, it's impossible to pay it back. And that's why they've come out and admitted it. They're going to need a great reset. If you pay attention to the top-level controllers and all that stuff, quote-unquote controllers, they're all saying at the big consortiums and at Davos and World Economic Forum and all these other places, we're going to need a great reset for sure. I mean, they pretty much said that in white papers and all different ways. But I don't know. It just doesn't translate to reality until they take 50% of everyone's 401k and call it a bail-in and say, hey, you're glad to have the rest of your 401k or the entire stock market would have collapsed. What are you going to do about it? Probably nothing. I mean, I see bail-ins as very reasonable in the next few years.
Yeah, that talk was big under the Obama presidency, the potential for that, early in his presidency. And you know what? That's interesting you say that. And the entire regime right now looks like an aircraft that has engines on fire and, clipped a mountainside in March of 2020 and is coming in for a crash landing. And they're trying to figure out, whenever they get this thing down, who the survivors are and what next gimmick they can, climb into and take off with. And that's probably going to be digital currency. It's probably going to herald in a lot of difficulty for people that express, kind of what I did in the first segment, which is, what are you going to do to me? How are you going to make me comply? If I don't want to carry a mobile device to, do all that you could do on those, are they really going to have like storefronts and services that they stand there and say, you're denied because you're here to pay in cash, cashless society? How long could that go on for? The homeless population in this country is represented by, advocates that talk about the underbanked, people who can't gain access. And, of course, it is a, part of the Democrat, view on elections that, make requiring ID is, threatened suffrage because, not all people can get IDs. How does that, dovetail with, a
right
moneyed digital system that's state-controlled, state-surveilled, constantly under surveillance, and it's the only way you can transact?
That's the type of doublethink that they're putting through. Same as my body, my choice, unless it's a vaccine, of course. So they got that double standard, and a lot of people fall for it, I feel like they're gaslighting us a lot too, and just hoping people get sick of it and just either A, they actually give in and just get the vaccine or follow any other. Trust me, I'm using vaccine here, but think of it from a financial point of view, all the controls put on your finances. You either will comply or do it what you're talking about and get out of the system one way or another. I'm trying as best as I can, whether it's with Bitcoin, gold and silver, preps, looking to buy some land. But it's a long road, and if you guys haven't started yet, get moving, I guess, is my advice.
Yeah, every day in the right direction, right? It's like diet, exercise, sleep, any work ethic that you're trying to build, any skill set, anything you're trying to accomplish, right? You know, it's got to be slow and steady wins the race. But this show is part of Prepper Broadcasting Network also because we keep the temperature of the news, the temperature of the environment in perspective. And tonight, it's about the same crappy level, but not crisis level that we've dealt with all summer, really all of 2021. So as a baseline, we're no closer to the crises that we, you know, speculate on than we were on our previous show.
Yeah, as far as we're aware. No, for sure. All right, well, we only got a few minutes left. Were there any other articles wanted to hit on or any other topics before we finish this night? The show went by so quickly.
Yeah, what are you thinking about doing another expedition to visit Mr. Jones in the near future?
I absolutely want to, just for fun. But if you want to do another bug out series, I just got a spare battery for the bug out bike. So now I got double the range, and I think we might be able to do some fun things with that. So maybe we'll do like a winter expedition. We went in July, so maybe we'll go, I don't know, if not in November, then January or something when it's real cold. Anyway, I'm up for it, man. We got to do it soon for sure. I'm not making it with prepper camps next week. I'm not going to be able to make that, but we got to go hang out with the Jones household. He had a DAC today talking about how he built his deck so large, you know, a 24 by 36 foot deck. Not for his family of four, but because he expects to have the community there and fellow preppers and everything and be a hub of communication and activity and even some fun. So you and I got to test out that deck. Let's just say that had some fun. So, man, I want to make it happen soon. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think this autumn might be even better time. So, Dave, I know you're listening. Let us know. We want to do a little opportunity to, you know, exercise some skill sets. It was a great event we had this summer, and a little cooler weather might assist. But, Ben, I look forward to doing it with you. Getting some new gear from your bike, I understand. What can you update us on that?
Yeah, I got a couple saddlebags as well. So a couple new saddlebags just to put a little bit more cargo, nothing huge. And again, the on the back area, now I have a spare battery. The battery is about 20 pounds. Bigger than a football. I don't even know how to explain it. At least like 2 feet long, pretty thick. So long story short, it's a big boy, but it's worth carrying along. So, you know. That's about it. I haven't actually ridden it too much. I've broken her in quite nicely, had a lot of fun and tested her out. But now I'm literally like, I don't want to put mileage on it. I don't want to even bald the tires because if stuff really hits the fan, this might be my only form of transport for quite a while. I don't want to use it up right now. So, but I'll break her out again if we're going to do an expedition. I'll definitely will do that.
Yeah, well, you got to also consider, you know, if you're going to have equipment, you got to exercise it. We've been working together on some radio comms that are pretty primitive, but nevertheless, you know, it's always about keeping the skill set fresh, and I look forward to going shooting with you this fall sometime.
Absolutely. Oh, you and I are definitely going to be going shooting this fall. I think No, I think you're right. I think about once a quarter we need to do something, whether it's to the Jones house, household, homestead, or even just something else. At least quarterly, got to get out there to the range and test out some of your preps. And I think going through the seasonal aspect, if you want to do a fall, and then we can do a winter one again in like maybe February or March or whatnot. So maybe we'll make that something more regular on PPH. Every quarter, every once a season, we come up with a little challenge, a physical challenge, or some sort of weekend bug out or other thing that we do. That sounds good.
Awesome. Well, hey, we're going to do one more show and then be off for a week, refreshing this thing up a little bit. But again, we're going to be on if anything starts to break down in a major novel way. I expect that. I expect to see controls and events and developments that we just haven't foreseen, because we're dealing with, you know, adversaries of this country who, that's what they're doing. That's what they do. They get ready to see how they can knock us down one more time, and you got to have your chin up. You got to be ready to, you know, respond to it individually and as a patriot. So good show, Ben. Pleasure always.
Absolutely. That's why we call it the Patriot Power Hour. Got to stick up for it, man. Everyone that came before us, we can't let them down. Let squander the freedom of the country. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the 153rd episode of Patriot Power Hour. Thanks as always for listening. I'm going to put in the description ways that you can reach out to Future Dan and I if you have any questions or want to be a guest, etc., etc. Otherwise, we're making way right now for the Next Generation's show. We'll be back next week, season finale, Patriot Power Hour. Catch you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.